The Katra Podcast, conversations for the curious essential knowledge simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of a Katra AI.
Welcome back to the deep dive.
Okay, so if you've ever had one of those weeks, you know, where you work like crazy, maybe 60 hours, but then you look back and realize you actually got less done than that other week where you were super focused for maybe 30 hours. Well, this deep dive is definitely for you.
Mm-hmm.
We're sort of tearing up the usual rules today and diving deep into The Art of Laziness, The Secret to Efficiency by Library of Mindset.
Yeah, and this is a dive that really fundamentally challenges our whole societal thing with being busy all the time. It's like we live in this culture where being seen to be working hard, constantly putting in effort, that's mistaken for actual value.
Totally.
You know, if you're not firing off emails at midnight, you feel kind of guilty, right?
Yeah.
So this book, it speaks right to that feeling, that modern burnout problem. It targets that that deep-seated belief that your self-worth is somehow tied directly to your output. It forces us really to face the fact that maybe most of the effort we put in is just noise, not the important signal.
I really like that framing, noise versus signal. So our mission today, I guess, is to unpack this pretty radical idea that laziness, if you apply it intelligently with precision, it's actually the ultimate secret weapon.
Right.
It's about completely restructuring how we even define success. And the promise is it leads not just to more productivity, but, you know, actual freedom, real satisfaction. We want to show you how to get those maximum results with minimal focused effort.
So who's the author then? Who's behind this this pretty contrarian idea?
Well, Library Mindset isn't really a single person like a traditional academic you might picture. It's more of an enigmatic content creation entity. They're known mostly for synthesizing huge amounts of information on their popular platforms like YouTube.
And that interdisciplinary thing they do, that's kind of their superpower, isn't it? They don't just stick to one field. Their analysis pulls from cognitive psychology, like how our brains actually work.
Systems thinking and also behavioral economics. And what's really key is they apparently spent a decade analyzing optimal performance, but not just looking at what successful people say they do, but digging into the hidden structures, the habits, you know, what they actually do.
And what's fascinating, I think, is that their authority kind of comes from embodying the very philosophy they're preaching.
Yeah.
Library Mindset is like a master filter.
Yeah.
They push for this intelligent laziness,
yeah,
getting more done by doing less, by being absolutely ruthless about distilling knowledge.
Yeah.
They find that, you know, the famous 20% of ideas that give you 80% of the value pulling from hundreds of sources, it saves the reader just immense amounts of time. You're basically, you could say, professional lazy people who've built this highly leveraged system for sharing knowledge.
Huh. That's efficiency right there. Okay, let's unpack the book's central idea. The premise is, well, it sounds simple, but it's truly transformative. Being genuinely productive means you have to ruthlessly pick the right things to do and then execute those things with the least possible friction and effort. So the book reframes laziness. It's not a character flaw, not a moral failure,
right,
but a strategic mindset, one that's focused purely on impact.
It really is a kind of liberation manifesto, especially for knowledge workers today. It's aimed squarely at, you know, overwhelmed professionals, those chronic overachievers who feel stuck on that hamster wheel of busyness.
Definitely know that feeling.
Yeah. And the book argues that this toxic productivity culture, the one that demands you're always on, it's directly linked to this outdated industrial age way of thinking. You know, that model rewarded visible output, like on an assembly line.
Right. But our work now, it's not about tightening 1,000 bolts an hour. It's about having maybe one brilliant idea or building one system that lasts. So the book guides you away from that old thinking by giving you systematic, evidence-based tools. We're talking frameworks like the Pareto Principle, the 80-20 rule, Parkinson's Law, and using constraints strategically.
Okay.
It's not really about finding quick hacks. It's about fundamentally redesigning your whole approach to work and life.
And that redesign, it really has to start with shifting your mindset.
Absolutely. Let's get into the specifics then. Starting with what the book calls the laziness paradox. I think, you know, we've all probably seen this. People who are truly highly productive often look kind of lazy.
Yeah.
They're the ones turning down most meeting invites, right?
They look lazy because they're focused on results, not on looking busy. They maximize what the book calls the effort efficiency ratio. And the key distinction here is between busy work, you know, tasks just meant to fill time or make you look productive, and actual result-producing activities.
Right.
The genius is in spotting and just eliminating the busy work And historically, if you look back, a lot of the biggest breakthroughs came from people who just refused to do the conventional busy work. They used that time instead for deep, unstructured thinking.
And that leads us perfectly into the next bit, the biology of strategic rest. This is where the science really comes in. Why is that doing nothing time actually so important?
It's neurological, essentially. When you let your mind rest, wander, you activate what scientists call the default mode network, or DMN.
DMN, yeah.
This network is crucial for things like consolidating memories, integrating new stuff you've learned, and that kind of subconscious problem solving. It's basically the engine behind that aha moment you get in the shower, you know, miles away from your desk.
Totally.
The book also talks about energy ecology, this idea that our mental and physical energy, it's finite, like your phone battery.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be strategically conserved, allocated to the really vital few tasks, not just frittered away on the trivial many.
Okay, so if energy is our main currency, then we have to be pretty aggressive about saying no to things that drain it. Which brings us nicely to the deconstruction of the hustle myth. This section really takes aim at what the author calls performative productivity.
Yeah, it connects the dots between maybe insecurity and the need to be seen working. Social media, certain workplace cultures, they reward visible effort, right? Even if that effort isn't actually effective.
Sure.
But for knowledge work, this obsession with busyness is often just completely counterproductive. You end up trading deep, focused work for shallow activity just to satisfy some external expectation of looking busy.
Yeah.
The book basically argues that chasing busyness is, in itself, a form of intellectual laziness.
How so?
Because it's actually easier to just frantically answer emails all day than it is to stop, think really deeply, and figure out how to eliminate that task entirely.
Okay. But isn't there sometimes a need for that performative aspect? You know, in a team, signaling commitment, showing you're engaged, even if the work itself is less tangible.
Ah, that's the core tension, right?
Yeah.
That's what the book really grapples with. The key, it suggests, is to shift what you signal. Instead of signaling commitment through hours logged, you signal it through the impact you deliver. A truly intelligent worker delivers results that are so clear, so undeniable, that the hours they spent become kind of irrelevant. And this is where the practical tools come in handy, like the minimum effective dose principle, or MED.
MED. Tell us more about that. Sounds like something incredibly useful for anyone feeling totally swamped.
It's borrowed from pharmacology, actually. It's about finding the smallest possible amount of effort needed to get the result you want.
Smallest amount. Okay.
Yeah. The goal isn't 80% of the result for 20% effort. It's aiming for 100% of the result for maybe just 20% of the effort. It's not about being sloppy. It's about ruthlessly cutting out every single non-essential step. And the book gives you the tools, like that 80-20 analysis, to find the vital inputs and constraint identification, which forces you to find the elegant shortcut.
Right. Building on that, the book makes a really crucial point about the real bottleneck we face. It argues that attention is currency. It's our most valuable, totally non-renewable resource, way more precious than time, actually.
Absolutely.
Mm.
And if you accept that premise, then the number one skill for surviving, let alone thriving, in the information age becomes selective ignorance.
Selective ignorance. Love that phrase.
You have to fiercely protect your attention. The book details the huge costs of task switching. You know, that cognitive residue that hangs around when you jump between emails and projects. It shows that even just knowing something exists and needs your attention, it's a drain on your resources.
Mm.
You have to train yourself to consciously ignore the 80% noise.
Which leads us to maybe the most counterintuitive idea in the whole book, the art of strategic procrastination. Now, I think most of us hear procrastination and immediately think anxiety, guilt, failure. How does the book flip that?
It makes a really critical distinction. There's avoidance procrastination, right? The kind that comes from fear or just not wanting to do something unpleasant.
Uh-huh.
But then there's productive procrastination. This is about strategically using delay as a tool for decision making. Sometimes waiting on a task lets you gather more information or, and this is brilliant, the task just becomes irrelevant. Maybe the problem solves itself, someone else deals with it, or the deadline just passes, and guess what? Nothing bad happens.
That takes some nerve, though, trusting that a task might just vanish. But, okay, for real long-term freedom, these short-term tactics probably aren't enough. We need systems. And the book covers this with systems thinking for lazy productivity.
Exactly. The truly strategic lazy person doesn't just rely on willpower day to day. They build lazy systems. Systems that keep producing results with minimal ongoing effort from them.
Like what kind of systems?
Well, it involves setting up feedback loops, understanding leverage points where a small input creates a big output, and crucially, automating recurring tasks whenever possible. Think about building systems like, I don't know, automated savings, content schedules that run themselves, organizational processes, things that work even when you're intentionally resting. That's how you get productivity while you sleep.
Okay, and the ultimate framework then for dealing with any task that comes your way is this simple but really powerful three-step strategy the author lays out. Eliminate, automate, delegate.
And the order there is absolutely critical. Elimination is number one. It's the ultimate productivity skill, the book argues. If a task isn't truly essential, if it falls into that trivial many, 80%, just kill it. Get rid of it.
Move.
Totally. If you absolutely cannot eliminate it, then you look to automate it. Use tech, use routines, whatever removes the need for active human input.
But why eliminate first? Why not just jump straight to delegation if you, say, have the budget or a team?
Good question. Because even delegating a non-essential task still consumes your resources, your time for training, for oversight, for quality checks, right?
Right.
If you eliminate it entirely first, you save 100% of those resources. Only if you can't eliminate or automate should you finally delegate it. And even then, the book advises accepting the, let's say, 80% solution from others sometimes, just to free up your own energy for that vital 20% that only you can really nail.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. Let's try and boil this down. What are the core takeaways? Let's unpack maybe four essential themes listeners should really grab onto from this deep dive.
Okay, theme one, energy is the ultimate resource. I think this is huge. The book makes a really convincing case that managing your cognitive, your physical, even your emotional energy is way more important than just managing your time. So stop trying to cram more stuff into your calendar.
Right.
And start optimizing your energy levels. Make sure you have peak focus available for those few tasks that actually move the needle.
Right. Theme two, effectiveness over efficiency. This is classic but crucial. It's completely pointless to become super efficient at doing something that shouldn't be done in the first place.
Exactly.
So the focus has to be on selecting the right tasks. That means ruthless editing, ruthless prioritization. The strategically lazy person asks, is this actually necessary? Long before they ask, how fast can I get this done?
Theme three, strategic constraint as liberation. This uses Parkinson's law.
Yeah.
You know, work expands to fill the time available as a positive tool. Constraints, like really aggressive deadlines or limited resources, they force you to find creative shortcuts.
Yeah.
If you give yourself 5 hours for something, chances are you'll take 5 hours. Give yourself 1 hour. You'll often find that necessary 80-20 solution pretty quickly.
And the final one, theme four, rest as a form of work. This is probably the most countercultural idea, but maybe the most important. Downtime, real rest, reflection. These aren't luxuries or escapes or signs of weakness.
Yeah.
They are essential, non-negotiable parts of peak performance. They're vital for activating that DMN we talked about, preventing burnout, and actually allowing for creativity.
Yeah, the book is just full of memorable lines, really sticky ideas. Here are maybe a couple of key quotes that really capture the heart of this philosophy.
Okay, hit us with them.
Quote one, the most productive thing you can do is the thing you don't have to do at all.
Ooh, that's direct. It's that elimination first principle again, isn't it? It forces you to rethink your whole role. You're not just a performer. You're an editor of your own work.
Precisely. And how about this one? Getting right to the title. Quote two, lazy people find the easiest way to do things, which often turns out to be the best way.
Huh. I like that. Because that desire to minimize effort, it naturally drives innovation, right? It challenges that embedded cultural assumption that difficulty equals value. Often the most complicated solution is just the one nobody stopped to simplify up front.
And one more. Quote three, your energy is finite, but your potential for leverage is infinite.
That really sums up the systems thinking part. Don't just try to increase your personal output hour by hour linearly. Focus instead on building systems, assets, processes that amplify your effort.
Right. Making you powerful, even when you're deliberately inactive, like the classic example is Warren Buffett just waiting patiently for that perfect fat pitch investment opportunity.
Mm.
High impact, low frequency.
That is the absolute definition of strategic laziness. Okay, fantastic. So how can people listening apply this stuff immediately, like starting today?
Okay, professionally, try the 80-20 rule on your communication, like your email. Spend maybe 10 super focused minutes dealing with the critical 20%, the stuff from your boss, key clients, urgent decisions. And then practice strategic ignorance on the rest. Don't even open that other 80% until your main vital task for the day is done.
And use constraints. Next time you schedule a meeting, just propose cutting the time in half, see what happens. Turn 60-minute slots into 30. or 30 into 15. That artificial pressure often forces everyone to get straight to the point and cuts out all the filler.
Definitely. And personally, try implementing Derek Seaver's hell yeah or no rule for any new commitments. If your immediate gut reaction isn't a resounding hell yeah, then just say no.
Simple but hard sometimes.
It is, but it's an active choice to guard your energy, that precious currency, for the things you genuinely value, instead of letting obligations just passively fill up your schedule.
And apply systems thinking at home too, right? Automate anything that takes up repetitive brain space. Set up lazy meal systems, batch cooking maybe. Or, critically, automate all your savings transfers, your bill payments. Make them require zero ongoing thought. Every decision you save yourself frees up mental energy for the choices that actually move your life forward.
So what surprised me most, I think, about digging into this approach is the realization that feeling constantly overwhelmed, it's often a choice, maybe even an avoidance mechanism sometimes. The real intelligence lies in designing systems that work smoothly, even when your motivation dips or when you're deliberately taking time off. It's about building a sustainable life, really, reclaiming your sanity, your freedom.
Yeah, and for me, what kind of shocked me was acknowledging the sheer courage it takes to be strategically lazy in today's world. It actually requires significant upfront effort and, frankly, a bit of social defiance to stop, think, and eliminate tasks when every signal around you is rewarding constant busyness. It's that fundamental shift from valuing visible effort to valuing underlying intelligence and impact. So the ultimate question this whole philosophy leaves us with, main for you to think about, is this. If you genuinely had the courage to eliminate the trivial many, that maybe 80% of stuff from your schedule, what would you finally have the time, the energy, the focus to create? See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Acontra Foundation.